Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 29, and I am Libya, your host. And this week we have some of the MVPs of the podcast returning. Go ahead, introduce yourself, guys.
Brian from Los Angeles. How you doing?
Peter from Los Angeles. What up?
Hey, Keith from Omaha, Nebraska.
Look at that, from very far away in the country. And this week, the news, I'm going to go through the news really quickly because we have way too many shows. I'm actually going to time us to get us through this as fast as possible. All right, on the big news that I have is that Netflix streaming, all those who have Netflix, they just made a deal with NBC Universal. They basically just renewed the 30 Rock, Office, SVU contract that they have, including next day. So if you miss it, you miss the show this year, the very next day it'll be available on Netflix.
That's awesome.
Also, what they have is they now have a bunch of the USA shows. So Psych, In Plain Sight, Monk, all those shows will be on Instant, all the seasons. And the big stuff is they got all of BSG on Instant, as well as all of Eureka.
Gasp.
So I am very excited.
I'm thrilled. Oh my God.
So now instead of telling people, oh my, you have to watch BSG, for those who don't know, that would be Battlestar Galactica. Instead of me having to hand out my DVDs, all I have to do is say, watch it on Instant. It'll be great.
If they don't have a Netflix streaming account, that's their fault.
Well, I say get them trial month, and if you can't watch a show in a month, that's your problem.
Yeah.
The other news I have is that Elijah Dushku will be guesting on Big Bang Theory.
Woo!
I like the fact that they always get the sci-fi, especially the sci-fi women, to show up on that show.
It's two Whedon women so far, isn't it?
Yeah, I like it. J.J. Abrams, sight unseen, has sold his new pilot to NBC that is going to be starring Michael Emerson and Terry O'Quinn. They don't know anything really about it. They haven't even written the pilot. Nothing. It just has J.J. Abrams' name on it. It has Michael Emerson and it has Terry O'Quinn's name. And NBC bought the pilot.
Wow.
The only thing that anyone knows about it is both of those guys are going to be Black Ops. And that's all we know. We don't know anything else. But the fact that NBC was like, we want it, I find that amusing. In the negative side of the news, Lone Star, which got a lot of critical acclaim, is looking Peter said he liked it. Is looking into the face of cancellation. Everyone in the business is basically 100% sure it's going to be canceled because it started off. Well, first of all, it's Fox, and they're very quick on the cancellation trigger.
Yeah.
Also, it came out of a really strong premiere of House. House ended with 11.5 million viewers. By the time Lone Star was over, it was down to 3.3 million viewers. So that's like, I don't even know what the percentage of the decay, but it's huge. And they said those are the numbers they're used to seeing on a bad episode on a Friday night, not a Monday night premiere. And basically Fox can't, they can't deal with those numbers.
I gotta say, they didn't really advertise it very well.
No, they didn't.
I know nothing about it, but I saw a lot of rave reviews about it. That's the only way I really know anything about it is after the fact.
And that's the thing that's embarrassing is that it got a lot of critical acclaim, but nobody tuned in. And I do think it's Fox's fault because they did not advertise it either. Well, the couple of trailers I saw looked uninteresting, which is why I didn't watch it.
Exactly.
And Peter said he watched it because it was free on iTunes. That was the only reason why he watched it. But he liked it, right, Peter?
I did like it, and I would agree. I think that Libby and I were discussing this off podcast, but I think that Fox is not very good at promoting, except for Glee last year when they promoted the heck out of Glee. I don't think Fox is very good at promoting new shows.
They're not.
About it. You almost feel like you're kind of like, wait, what's that show? You don't even know what it is.
I mean, dude, I didn't watch Firefly at the time because the ads were so bad.
Yeah.
For example, my piece of news is that Boardwalk Empire has already been picked up for a second season.
Woohoo!
And it totally deserves it.
Well,
I can't wait to see it. Haven't seen it yet.
I was about to say, speaking of which, that's a good segue. Let's start off with.
Hey, Libby, just wait. Sorry about this. I just wanted to add this. You brought up that Netflix thing. For anybody that has a PS3, which I know is Brian and me, right now we've been having to use to watch Netflix. You have to put the disc in. You know that, Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah, in October, they're going to come out with an update, which is going to put the app right onto it. So basically like the Xbox, so you won't need the disc anymore. So, awesome.
Yes. Rockin'.
All right. I also have a PS3.
Nice. Moving there on. Boardwalk Empire, real quick. This pilot cost $20 to $30 million, depending on who you talk to. It has, you know, Steve Buscemi and a lot of other people I didn't really recognize in it. Kelly McDonald, for example. It was phenomenal. I absolutely loved it. I was blown away. The pilot is extended length, and it kind of goes all over the place, but it's setting up a lot of characters. I mean, you meet Al Pacino in there. Not Al Pacino, Al Capone.
I was about to say Al
Capone. Sorry, Al Capone. You also meet Lucky Luciano in there as well. So you meet some very heavy hitters of the time. It takes place in 1920 in Atlantic City, just as Prohibition is starting. And I was blown away. I was totally riveted to my screen from beginning to end. Even when I got a text message, I just put the phone down and be like, I'm answering that later. I know. It was that good. I'd be like, I'm going to answer that later because the show is so good. Seriously, you guys should really check it out. And from what I understand, from what I've been reading of people who have seen advanced copies of the next episodes, the pilot is the worst episode.
Oh.
Apparently, it gets better and better each episode.
I really like Steve Buscemi, and the only reason I didn't watch it was because I personally am not a fan of that era, and I don't really like mobsters. And I was waiting
to... It's not really your typical mobster thing.
Right, though. And the thing is, I was waiting to see what other people thought. I jumped in.
I mean, I like mobster stuff a lot.
I don't like The Sopranos. Just I didn't watch The Sopranos.
I've never
mainly
seen The Sopranos either.
Okay, that was what I was going to ask you if you had seen that.
No, but
because that's not my taste.
But I love stuff like Goodfellas, The Godfather, stuff like that. I really like that stuff. But this was more drama-esque than gangster-esque. I mean, you have your gangster types, but Steve Buscemi isn't the clear-cut gangster type. I mean, he's also very generous with his money, and you also have, you know, the stay-at-home wife, and you have all these other people who aren't really gangster-esque. So there are a lot of stories going all over the place, but it weaves it very well.
Okay.
Very engaging, very fun to watch. I cannot wait to see more. This is probably new show I'm most excited to see for all this right. season.
Well, I have it. I guess I'll have to.
You totally should. It's worth the time.
Put that in with all my other million shows.
Yeah, right? Oh, my God.
All right, so the next show we're going to talk about is the season premiere of House, which was it literally took place the finale. It actually took place in the exact same second as the finale ended, and it picked up right after that. All right, go.
I liked it. You know, I have been not a huge House supporter over the seasons, but I got the last season on Blu-ray and I sped through it and I liked it. So I was all caught up and I don't know. I thought it was good. I was only thing I was nervous about was that I think, Libya, you had told me there was a thing where at one of the seasons, House thought that he had a relationship with Cuddy and it was in his head.
Yeah,
right.
Right. And so in this episode, halfway through, there's a moment where they kind of tease that, where it's like, he hasn't really been sleeping with Cuddy. And I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding. But they don't. That's not what it was at all. It was just like a little tease. And I liked the fact that they seem to be hinting that something's going on with 13. We don't know exactly what it is. But I thought it was a good premiere.
I thought it was kind of weak. I mean, I enjoyed it enough, but it was kind of – I was hoping for more. One, there wasn't enough Wilson. But you know what made up for that? Lots of half-naked Cuddy. The episode was a little weak. I mean, the stuff going on at the hospital, even though the actor, I don't know his name, who played the neurosurgeon who got a little drugged, I always enjoy him whenever I see him in anything. He's been liking a ton of stuff. But yeah, all the half-naked Cuddy really made the episode for me. It made it much more dramatic and engaging.
Dramatic.
It really just pulled me in more to the episode. But just about any other House episode I've seen.
Oh, that's...
I can't keep that going.
I was about to say, you were so shallow.
The moment where Cuddy falls on the bed, like topless, and I was like, whoa, how'd they get away with that? I mean, it really almost looks like you see something.
Yeah. I have to say, apart from all you naked Cuddy fans, what moved me in the episode, because, I mean, you said that it was boring, but actually... What was really unique about this episode is it wasn't about the case. They didn't really have a case. It was more
a character study.
It was more of a character thing. And for me, that's great. That's what I watched House for. And it gave me everything I wanted. I thought it was one of the best premieres of everything that I watched on Monday night. I really liked it. And I like I like the way that without changing House's character and making him like this super soft guy, we're looking at what would a relationship with House be like and what are the pitfalls. And he's already technically screwed up because he totally went around her because he wanted to have a day off with her to establish their relationship, yeah, which I understood.
But I don't like that. I don't like how you start off a relationship with a big old lie right there.
But the thing is, this is House. But this is House, and he knows she's going to freaking find out. He's not trying to lie to her.
I know.
Because he knows that by tomorrow, she's going to know what he did. So he's not even really like, oh, I got to keep the secret. It's more, these are the shenanigans that I do to get what I want. Are you going to be on board with it? But to him, them having that one day together was so important. That was impressive, I gotta say. Yeah, it was so important as far as establishing whether or not they were gonna have a relationship. Because if she had left and they hadn't had that full day, I think their relationship would have been a completely different place. Yeah. And for him, it was worth the sacrifice. Now, the question is she gonna agree when she gets to work the next day? But I thought that that was interesting. I thought that the fact that he put that much effort into them establishing their relationship, but then this fear, you could just see.
Oh, he was terrified.
Yeah.
He was goddamn terrified.
And I love that.
That was great.
Yeah. And especially, they finally are like, okay, we're in a good place, because he almost breaks up with her and they're all good. And then they stand on the opposite sides of that door and you see the looks on their faces. They're both terrified and they both kind of are afraid this whole thing is going
to
blow up.
And they both have good reasons to be terrified.
Exactly. And I thought that was great. And to me, that was an A for me for the episode. I loved it.
I know all you guys love House, but with his personality, has he ever gotten a second date?
No, well, he doesn't even try.
He doesn't really try. So one, I mean, if you put it in that perspective, even from someone who doesn't watch the show, one day with someone that he truly loves, he didn't really do anything more than what he does every other day.
No, that's not true. You didn't see the episode. He did quite a bit more than the usual House,
which is quite surprising.
He opened himself up to her. He basically put himself out there to be emotionally destroyed, and he has never done that ever.
No, my point is that the comment was that in some ways he's lied, he's done this, he's done that. To do this, I'm saying for someone that he loves that he will not get another opportunity with, that's not that big of a deal, so that he can do these other things, so he can open himself up, so he can try to have a relationship. Right. To me, this makes complete sense with who he is as a character.
Okay, well, it's time to move on from House.
All right, the next show we're going to talk about is the series premiere of The Event.
Oh, God.
Boo.
Before you boo, I'm going to give it a little preamble. They had a really... I have to give NBC credit for this, in that their campaign to get people to watch it was very successful. It had really high ratings. Almost everyone I know watched it. However, unanimously,
terrible. Yes, NBC's great at... Yeah, unlike Fox, NBC is great at their marketing. So kudos to NBC.
I was so bored.
But it was so late. I don't care about going three days earlier. 5 days earlier. Who cares, man?
The jumping around was annoying, but I was like, I don't like or care about any of these people.
I didn't mind Jason Ritter. I was okay with him. But I mean, he's a great character, but I was okay with him. I didn't mind him.
I think the jumping around ruined it for me.
I can agree with that.
Yeah. I was basically okay. I wanted to know the information that they were giving us, and I thought that the characters could be interesting, but I didn't know yet. But the 7 minutes earlier, and then the 7 days earlier, and then we're in lines. And then the year earlier,
13 months,
and then we're switching POVs. And somebody was asking me who hadn't seen it. They were like, well, was the time jump confusing? I was like, it doesn't even matter if it was confusing, because I'm used to this. I watch sci-fi. I'm used to the jumping around in time. I can keep track of that. What that says to me is lazy storytelling.
They're trying too hard.
They're trying way too hard
to be clever.
And it doesn't, doing that kind of thing, tell a good freaking story. Like, that's what I want.
Like when they had the guy in the truck pulling next to the plane, and like they had the, because that's what you see in the very beginning from one of the guys perspective, you see the truck, and they're like, I could almost think of someone coming behind me going, look, isn't that clever? See what we did there? Look at that. You seeing that? I'm like, F you. Sorry.
Also, I thought you. That because this is one I forgot what the guy's name is, but 24 has I think three creators, and this was one of them was the creator of the event. Mm. And it's funny because I almost felt like, did he do this time jump just because in 24, of course, for everyone who watched 24, that show took place in real time, yeah. And in this, it's like. Now he gets to do a thing where he's jumping backwards and forwards through time as much as he wants to no avail. Also, why did the time that said 2 days earlier? It's the exact same font used on 24.
Yeah, that's true.
I know is the only thing that even is remotely interesting by the time I finished this pilot was. I know, I think Peter said he thought that the blue light was lame, but I actually
it just
was
looked
like,
kind of cheesy,
wait,
I thought.
Wait, let me finish. My only thing is, that was the only thing in the entire pilot that I went, huh, I didn't expect that. But yeah. That's it. I mean, everything else was so aggravating.
Yeah.
I am going to give it one. I'm going to give it another episode to see if they answer any questions. To see, because, one, I tuned in. For Blair Underwood, and the pilot actually didn't give me a lot of him, so I want to see what's going on with his character. I'm interested in that. Keith, did you watch it?
I did watch it, and I'm actually interested to see who is them.
Who is the people that are being held?
Yeah, to me that's the only thing that and I figured I figured probably 10 minutes into the show. Again, we're going to need... We'll find out who they are in October. And now I'm just trying to decide if I'm going to give it that long to watch it.
I honestly don't think
I am. Or if I'm going to come back in October and watch one more.
Right, I could see that. It's just... I think that they started off with the wrong... like you said, I think they're trying too hard and they started off on the wrong foot.
Totally.
But
they got some great actors. I mean, they do. Yeah, they've got some great people in
there. And you notice there's a Whedon connection in there? Tony Todd?
Oh, I was like, what?
Tony Todd?
Okay. Well,
if you're
going to
say Tony Todd, you can also say JMS.
I was about to say, I don't think of Tony Todd as a Whedon connection because I've seen Tony Todd forever in all these other
movies. Right, but I'm just saying.
All right. So, anyway, let's. I think we've all said what we're going to say about the event. Let's move on to Hawaii 5-0.
I loved it. It was probably my second favorite premiere. I was so thoroughly entertained. I had such a great time. And I'm definitely going to watch more. I totally loved it.
Peter?
I liked it. And I thought the production value was blew the event away. I thought it looked really good.
Totally.
I liked seeing Hawaii as Hawaii. Whereas on Lost, of course, they use Hawaii, but they can't, you know, you're not supposed to know it's Hawaii. Here we get to see Pearl Harbor. And I really loved the environment. I was like, oh, it looks really good. And my only criticism was, and it's not a huge one, was I thought it took a little while to get the team together. And I don't know, even though I like James Marsters, I don't know if I need their cases to be so personal. Cause it starts off with, I forgot what the actor's name is. Is it Alex Laughlin? Is that the guy's name?
I think it's McLaughlin.
McLaughlin. Like, I don't really... I was like, really? We're starting the pilot with, like, it's personal because it's his dad. And I was
I thought that's a perfect way to start a pilot because...
I just... I don't have any investment in his character.
That's the whole point.
Realize that. And if they pulled it off for me, which they didn't, then I would be sitting here agreeing with you. I would say, yes, that was a good idea. But because that still didn't convince me, like, I felt, who cares?
Peter, wait.
All I was going to say that is because you're a cold, unfeeling person.
Right.
Because you didn't feel anything for him.
I still like the pilot, too.
But Slater was the dad. You don't want to see William Slater get killed. He's awesome.
I thought that the pilot is the exact place that you put a personal story so that we understand why this soldier who has a great career in military operations, why he would give up that career to become a cop in Hawaii. Otherwise, it wouldn't make any sense.
Plus, he also got the guy, kind of, sort of, but we might see him again. Plus, they set up this kind of overreaching arc for the season with what they found in the tool chest.
Oh, right, with he found the recording.
Yeah, so right. I think they set up the season perfectly.
I do, too. And I mean, I liked them getting the team together. I liked how...
Dano was so funny.
As you got each...
Yeah, Dano's great.
As you got to each problem that he couldn't solve, he's like, okay, well, we need this new team member to help us solve that problem. And I thought that worked really well. I didn't have any problems with the pilot. I thought it was good.
And I love how Grace... Hoping... Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just hoping that we actually get more team members. Really. I completely love the show. I thought it was... For me, it was actually the best new series that I saw this week.
I can agree with and, that.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean... It just awesome all the way around the board. I'm actually hoping though that I'm hoping James Marsters stays dead.
Agree. Only because I feel like it. I agree with Keith. Just because it feels to me like in a different kind of show, if you don't see a body, you know, it's like, oh, he might be alive, but. This is supposed to theoretically be the real world, so I was like, I'll be kind of, even though I like James Marsters, I think it'd be kind of cheesy if like he's alive.
Keith's argument is that he doesn't like James Marsters.
The only thing worse is if James Marsters would be part of the team come season 2.
No. I gotta say one thing I like though. I liked how they used Grace Park as like the blunt weapon. How like she's like the hands-on, you know, fist fighting.
Right.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah, I thought that was a great twist because usually, like girls on these shows, they're not really physical. They hide behind their gun or whatever because, you know, they're written that way. But I liked how they used her as, like, the fist. Right. And I really enjoyed that.
You know, I agree. I mean, the first thing we see her do is surf and punch somebody out.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
I loved that.
That was a love tap. That was a love tap.
And Alex McLaughlin, was that his name?
I don't know. O'Loughlin.
He was fantastic, but I gotta say again, the guy who played Dano, Scott Kahn.
Scott Kahn, yeah.
He was wonderful. He's my favorite thing about the show. Sorry, I think he was so funny and charming. I thought he was great.
Yeah, I agree. My thing is the main guy, I have not liked him in every single thing I've ever seen him in, and he's actually made me not watch shows.
Oh, really?
So yeah, I really don't like him. However, I will say he didn't bother me in Hawaii 5-0.
I've never seen him in anything before. Oh, so.
Yeah, he was in that bad Jennifer Lopez movie, and he's in a lot of lame stuff. Yeah. But I would agree with Libya. I don't usually like him, but I thought he was fine here.
He didn't bother me. I thought he did a good job for what he was trying to do, and I give it thumbs up.
The chemistry between him and Dano is absolutely perfect
as
well.
And we're forgetting, I also like seeing just such the weird, you know, Lost character meets BSG character. Is it his cousin? Is that who he's playing?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they're
Grace
cousins.
Park. Is
yeah, she's his cousin.
And when they're like, we should go in, he's like, give her a second.
We're going to move on to Castle. Which I thought was a pretty good premiere.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
And I like the whole, we spent our summer apart and now we don't know whether we should talk to each other and who calls who first and it's very awkward. They did the time jump thing where they show the end first to kind of like make you excited, but I don't even think that was even necessary because that's not the kind of show. Like, Castle's not the kind of show that has to be action-packed and everyone's shooting guns.
But I think it worked, even though they don't really usually do that. I still think it worked.
Yeah, and it was fine, and they don't use that very often, so I was okay with it. And they immediately just went in order. And it was everybody has their feelings hurt, and everybody's treating Castle like he's the guy that treated their sister wrong or something.
Oh, my favorite was the way Ryan and Esposito treated him badly the entire episode. Like, I love this one bit where he asks about the financials and they just slowly turn.
And walk away from him.
And look at him, like, with this mean look. They both look at him like that. He's like, he's all nervous and crap. It was great.
Well, what's great is he doesn't realize why everybody's mad at him.
He has no idea. He still really doesn't have any...
Well, he does know
now. You think so?
Yeah, because that was the whole... When he's talking to his daughter, and she's like, I'm done with this guy because he didn't call me.
Oh,
like,
that was great, by the way.
Yeah, and he was like, well, what if he didn't know he was supposed to call you? and she's like, oh, that's no excuse. I know. He's like, he wasted his chance. And they had the good illusion between what was going on with her and what was going on with him and Beckett. And that was when he realized he'd screwed up.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough.
And then it was all about, okay, well, how do I make it up to her? And so he spent the rest of the episode trying to make it up to her. And I like the fact that she totally threw the bet. Because they had the bet, like, if I get this first, then I'm back on the team. If you get it first, then I'm off the team. And she totally threw it because she really wanted him back on the team. It was cute.
My favorite was when they're both like, what if they find it first? And then they look at Ryan Esposito and they have the stupidest looks on their faces. Like, nah.
Yeah, it was Castle is one of those shows that always makes me smile. It's not big tension, it's not big mystery, it's not who done it. I don't care who did the murder, and they don't care either.
Right.
And
that's tertiary.
Yeah.
Yeah, the murder is tertiary to the characters and their relationships.
Right. And they're very much acknowledged that the show is all about we're gonna have fun for an hour. You wanna come along with us.
Exactly.
So I think it succeeded in that, and I'm happy. Did either one of you guys watch Castle?
No.
I like Nathan Fillion, but I have never seen it. I've heard it's good. I've just never seen it.
Wow. Oh, it's a perfect vehicle for him. You should really watch it because...
Yeah, no, I've heard good things, and I like him. He's great.
Yeah, the show is basically designed around him, and I think it's great.
Yeah, it just works perfectly. It's so much fun.
All right, so...
I guess we'll move on from that one.
Yeah, we'll move on, and I know that I am the only person in this podcast who watches NCIS. However, it is the number one rated show of the week, and... It had a really good premiere. If the premiere was mediocre, I'd be like, we don't really need to talk about it. But for me, I mean, just in the teaser, I saw the teaser and I was like, oh my God. Like, the last season, it had like a three-part finale.
Mm.
And it basically left Gibbs in a position where he, before the show had started, he had killed this guy who killed his wife and daughter. And then he joined NCIS. The finale was all about all that coming back to catch up with him. The family of the people of the guy that he killed come hunting for him. And they figure out that he did it. And they kind of try to get him arrested. So, and then they were planning on killing him. But that the people that they set up to do it were like his people, and they kind of misplaced the report or whatever. But it all comes down to they're like, well, you killed our father, so we're gonna kill yours. So the finale, the cliffhanger, is this cartel woman shows up at his father's store and looks like she's about to kill him. And I was like, oh, that's going to be bad. And then the premiere starts off in the same conversation. And I like the dad because he always has a Winchester rifle with him.
Okay.
And so it was a nice little shootout, but then the dad ending up getting police protection. So they jump the summer by having the dad having to stay with Gibbs for the whole summer. And then it's all about, you know, we got to track down the case. But whenever stuff gets personal, that's when Gibbs goes outside of the box. And one thing I love about this show is even though he's a cop and technically he's supposed to be by the book, the fact that he went down to Mexico and killed this dude with a sniper rifle, and because the guy killed his family, he will kill you if he feels like he needs to.
But Mark Harmon seems like such a nice guy.
And what I saw when I saw that this cartel was shooting real bullets at his father, I was like, yeah, he's going to have to kill those guys. And I was correct. By the end of the episode, he didn't do it himself, which made it even better. He basically set a trap. He set a trap so that the guys that he wanted dead ended up being dead.
Okay.
And because I knew, I was like, he's not going to let them live. And I didn't know how he was going to do it, but he did it in a really great way. And the whole team worked together. Mm. He got one of his old friends, a guy named Franks, who actually trained him. That dude showed up. He was like, I heard somebody's coming after your father. Here for extra muscle. So it's like his whole team just kind of came together. And they were all like, okay, what do you need us to do? And that's what I love. Like, they're kind of like, do you need us to bury a body? Like, what do you need to happen right now? And they all looked after him, and then his boss got the report that said that he killed that guy, because that report got filed. You see, at the very last shot, you know, you see him, like, hide the report in the back of a box in a big warehouse. He filed it with all the other reports, but it's not late. Like, somebody would actually have to stumble across it, you know? So they basically did a really good job of showing the team working as a team. And I think there was a murder case. I don't even remember. Like, when we were talking about how the murders are tertiary on Castle, sometimes the murders are front and center on NCIS, but the best episodes, it's about the characters and how they interact and how they're family.
Mm.
And the secondary is like, there might have been a murder somewhere in there, and you don't know. But it was all about, we have to kill these guys before they kill us. And one of the best scenes was one of the guys threatens Abby, which basically Gibbs thinks of as a daughter.
Right.
And he about freaked out on the guy. It was like, you got to pull him apart now. It was really good. I I thoroughly enjoy the show, and I know everyone's intimidated by the fact that there's what, we're on season 8?
Yeah.
I want to say we're on season 8. People are intimidated by that, but I cranked through 5 seasons of that show in a couple weeks, but that's me, and I'm insane that way. But, yeah, I thought it was great. I loved it. They gave hints to what's coming up, which is Ziva's dad's got something going on, and then we see IM from Dinozo's dad, and I was like, oh, family stuff. I love it. All right. So that was my thing. Plug the show. Moving on. The next show we have up is Glee. Go.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Best hour of television I had this week. And of course, I'm sure Brian either has already stopped watching it, or he's going to tell me it's terrible. But I thought it was awesome.
Stopped watching it. So you guys have fun.
I thought it moved well. I thought the introduction of the new coach, the football coach, was pretty good.
Coach Beast!
I thought the scene where Rachel and the girl, you know, from the Philippines, as Rachel would say, they have a duet where they do a Lady Gaga song, Telephone. I thought that was better than any Lady Gaga moment they did on their Lady Gaga episode. I thought it was a really good duet, and it showed how competitive and neurotic Rachel is. Basically, just for anybody who didn't see the episode, part of the premiere is that they need to get new members, and I think it really, am I right, Libby? It's really only 2 people, right? It's a guy and a girl that they're thinking of recruiting.
Yes, and that all came to naught. I was very disappointed.
Right, and actually, that girl was awesome. But I think we heard she is going to be a reoccurring character, but she ends up going to the rival school, right? She actually doesn't stay with.
That's what I said. By episode 1, we have to remember this is episode 1.
Well, but I really liked it. I thought Jane Lynch, as usual, so funny. It was interesting to see her and Schuster together, you know, for a nanosecond. Like, I don't know, man. I thought it was really pretty good.
Of course, you're not letting me speak because we've already had this argument.
No. I figure now you can be the...
Well, actually, I want to speak about Glee also because I also loved it. And, you know, and to me, one of the things I'm happy is that Schuster and... what is her name? Cheerio. Lady Cheerio. I'm glad they're, you know, for a short second, they teamed up. I'm glad Will got beyond his, beyond that. I loved the music. I will
like
say.
New York.
New York was awesome. I actually really, really, really enjoyed that. I also thought they did a good job in setting up at least the first part of the season. I mean, it wouldn't make sense for Glee to, like, all of a sudden make everything work out the first episode. It's just not the way the show rolls.
And that's all fine and good. My problem, which I've talked to Peter about at length, and I'm going to say here, is that I like the episode. I thought that the musical numbers were really good. I enjoyed them. But they ruined Rachel's character for me because they basically had her do something that it was in character for her to be jealous and try to get rid of a rival. That's totally true. But when her manifestation of that is she basically sends this girl off to this crack neighborhood hoping that she will get hurt and disappear, I was like, you know, I can see you being jealous and trying to get rid of your competition in a regular high school way, but when you actually are trying to do someone harm, I'm done. Like, I no longer need to see Rachel's character ever again. I'm done with her. So, I like the show. I like all the other characters. Rachel can fall off the earth and die.
Damn. My only argument is that I think the show has always been very over the top. So even though I agree sending a character to a crack den, even for the show, is a little over the top, the show has never really been subtle. So, I mean, like, for me, it seemed par for the course.
You could also say the same thing with Sue whenever she tried to get Coach Beast's job completely
taken away
and put her in prison.
Well, that's true.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yes,
she
but that
her for sexual misconduct.
I didn't have a problem with that because that is Sue. Sue will do that. That is Sue's character. Sue's character will totally do that and not see a problem with it. She basically she has been sabotaging them in the most outlandish and really hurtful ways from day one. That is part of her character, and I know that. My thing, and she has her own motivation for that, and that's totally fine. My thing with Rachel, also, in addition to that, is she's always like, oh, I was doing this for you guys. Like, really? No.
Oh, that and was crap.
And
oh,
nobody,
no.
And nobody believed her. No, and nobody believed her. And the fact that she even thought for 1 second that anybody would believe her, I found to be very irritating. So,
But her boyfriend, I'm glad he actually set her down and basically said, Rachel, you got to stop saying that.
Right.
I did like that.
And I did like that, and I like Finn. He's a fine character. I'm done with Rachel. So.
All right. But either way, I liked it. Keith liked it. Libya liked it, didn't love it.
Yes. Well, I actually really liked the episode. I just now hate Rachel. That's two different things. All right.
All right.
Libya, I understand.
All right. So. Let's move on to the next new pilot we have, which was J.J. Abrams' new show called The Undercovers. And the production value was okay. I wouldn't say it wasn't as good as Hawaii Five-O by any stretch. And it was very, I mean, the originals, the first story was pretty cliche as far as there's a agent that's gone missing and we need to go retrieve that agent and maybe he's good and maybe he's bad. It's not like it's anything that I haven't seen before. What I thought made this pilot interesting and different and new for me was the fact that the couple, like the two of them, I really like them. I mean, granted, they're gorgeous people. So there is, I'm slightly swayed by their gorgeousness, but I really like their chemistry. I believe that they're married. I believe the humor that they bring to the show I thought was really kind of cute and interesting. Though I think that they are in danger of going over the top with the sycophant assistant guy who's like falling all over himself in love with the dude. He's like, I've read all your case files and I can't believe like that incident with such and such. That was so amazing. And can I get your autograph? Like, he didn't say, can I get your autograph? But he was just so, just like.
He wanted something other than the autograph.
And the wife was like, you know, I'm standing right here, right? So that was a little, I think I'm afraid of that going over the top. Like, that it very much has potential of going too far. But I like the husband and wife. I really like them as a couple. And of course, they give you the mystery of the bosses want to bring them back for some unknown reason. So we have no, that's going to be like the season arc. So we don't know why they've been recruited again. It's obviously not for the reason they've been told, but I'm sure it's J.J. Abrams' show. All will be revealed eventually. All right, Keith, you had an opinion.
To me, you know, I will say I agree about the couple. I think the couple did an awesome job with pulling off some different things. I just thought the storytelling wasn't just, to me, it wasn't all that great. And I have hope. You know, to me, I did end up watching the extended trailer, and I thought the best parts of this episode was on the commercials, on the trailers. So I'm just hoping that, I'm hoping for more the next several episodes.
Well, one thing I was going to say is I really like the fact that I was afraid. There was this moment where the guy's all like, it's dangerous, so I'm going to go in here and you need to hang back and I'll go save the guy and you stay with the equipment to be my backup. And I was like, aren't they both spies? Like, why is he being all protective guy, chauvinist guy? Like,
because he's the husband.
Whatever, man. Here, they're both.
Let me answer that one.
Well, see, I was going to lose respect for her if she actually stayed back, which she didn't do, and I was like, thank you. And so she stayed back to help him to a point, and then she shows up, and they have to go rescue the guy, and she's like, you take the dude out, I'll cause a distraction, and he starts to argue with her, and she goes, it's my turn. And I was like, thank you. So, and I like the fact that
it's not just her turn, it's her case.
And that's the thing, is I like the equality between the couple, because you're like, oh, that's the husband. So what? Well, if they both if they both can fire weapons and they both can do karate and they both are very good at all of that, then
And Libby, you said one of the things that you liked about this couple is that they seem like they're married, right?
Yes.
What I'm sharing is it is the responsibility for the husband to be the husband to say, I got this. Even if the wife is equal to this, you know, you still want to be that husband to naturally protect your wife. And it's normal for her to do what she did coming back in, being that she was very capable. But for him to not at least try to say that, I would have lost respect for him because, you know.
Well, not so much that he said it. I was just kind of like, if she had actually stayed back, I was like, this show has lost 10 points. But it didn't. And she came and she's, you know, she did what she had to do. Though I have to give you points with the whole, he was, except the whole husband thing, like, they asked if they wanted a rose. And he was like, oh, no, it's fine. And she was like, you couldn't get me a rose? I was like, yes, that's great. Like, that's exactly what a couple would do. And I thought that was pretty cool. But, yeah, I like the show. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that was actually one of the things I liked was the fact that, to me anymore, so often husbands don't act like husbands. And I thought that he did a very good job of acting first like a husband and then like a spy. And they made that work together.
Okay. I'll take that. All right, we're out of time on that show. We're going to move on. Modern Family. You want to do Modern Family?
We saved 2.5, 3 minutes with Castle. We might as well talk about Modern Family.
Well, go. Modern Family,
we did.
Go.
I thought the season premiere was fantastic. I loved all the bits with Gloria and her little thing with Manny and the girl he was dating.
Oh, that was great. It was delicious. Yeah.
It was delicious. I it's like, what was that one thing she said, like, for the rest of my life, his life. Yeah, wait, it was what? Really funny, and all the stuff with the station wagon was great, and the stuff with building the little castle for the girl was fantastic. And how what's that one character's name with the redhead, what's the character's name?
Wait, you mean the brother?
Yeah, what's his name?
Wait.
I can't remember his name. Anyway, when he got stuck in the castle, and he couldn't admit he got stuck in the castle, but both Cam and Jay knew it anyway. Yeah, it was really just spot on, and I really like where
Mitch. Mitch, right?
Yeah. Mitch, yes, thank you, Mitch. Yeah. I loved how he couldn't admit he couldn't use tools.
Say something like, the last time I was using tools... And the dad goes to tease him, and he says something like, what were you using the tools for originally? He was like, oh, we were making a gift wrapping station, and we're back.
My favorite was when Mitch said something about this bookcase they built when he was a kid, and Jay's like, that was my Vietnam. And I was right. In Vietnam.
Yeah, my only two tiny little thing that I felt a little disappointed, not a huge deal, was that in the premiere of Modern Family, which I don't know if you guys have all seen the very first season premiere.
Of course.
The way the show ends is Ed O'Neill you're going through the montage of the family and you're hearing Ed O'Neill talk about what family means. And at the very end of it, right when you think it's getting kind of cheesy, you cut back to Ed O'Neill and he's basically reading a letter that Manny read. And he basically kind of makes fun of it. He's like, oh, come on, what family is like that? In this premiere, there's a similar thing where you see the family finally letting go of the station wagon and they're together and you have a voiceover, but they don't make it a joke at the end. And a part of me, even though I do love the characters, a part of me was a little like, yeah, that is a little cheesy. Even though I think the show's great, that was my only tiny little misstep I thought they made.
I didn't have a problem with that, but I can see what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, but I mean, but overall, of course, I love the show. I've watched that first season already like twice. I mean, I love it. I think it's fantastic.
All right. I guess that's all we have to say for that. That's all I have to say.
All right.
The next show. Oh, do you guys?
Are we moving into Thursdays?
Yeah. Yeah. The next show we're about to do right now is Big Bang Theory.
Before we do Big Bang, can I just throw a very quick thing of Bones series season premiere was
Bones,
awesome.
Bones was connected. Bones was Thursday, though.
I just asked if we were doing Thursdays.
All right, Bones season premiere, awesome.
It was awesome. And done. Moving on.
All right. All right. It got wiped from my TiVo because I had too much stuff on Thursday. Otherwise, I normally would have watched Bones as well. So I'm going to have to actually watch that one because the cliffhanger was good. So I do want to know what happened.
Awesome.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. All right. Okay. The next show we have coming up is Big Bang. Go.
I thought it was funny. I thought, like, I was surprised that basically the main thing is that it comes out that Sheldon may or may not have a girlfriend. Wait, what's the girl's name? Because they call the couple, like, Shammy. Is that what it is?
Yeah, but I don't remember. Amy or something? I think her name is
Amy. So Shammy. Yeah. The only thing I was hoping we get a little more of who's the girl who played Blossom? Because that's the actress. What's her name?
I don't know. Call her Blossom. Let's keep going.
Okay, Blossom. But I was hoping for a little more of her. But when we finally get to her, and then, of course, Penny is there as, like, the chauffeur, literally the chauffeur because she's driving them, and the chauffeur for the date at the restaurant, I thought it was very funny. Like, I
like the whole concept was based on the fact that Sheldon's like, we're going to procreate because we have to gift our child to the world. And they're like, well, how are you going to have sex? And Sedge's like, who said anything about sex? You know, like.
And the fact that he called it not just procreation, but it was going to be like an overlord or something.
Yeah.
the world needs an overlord to take care of them or something like that.
Yeah. And then somebody was like, the history books are going to wonder why we didn't take this opportunity to kill him now.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was a good premiere. And supposedly, I guess this could have been in our news section, but I heard it did really well. Like, Big Bang did great in the ratings for CBS. So it proved that it has the Thursday power.
Right. I mean, well, it's a good show, so I love it. The only thing that I thought that was kind of weak was the storyline with
Wallowitz,
yeah, with the robot.
Yeah,
hand.
It started funny, and then when it gets to the hook, I was like, eh. But the beginning where he's basically has a robot arm, and the robot arm is doing things like I think it's taking the Chinese food out, it's taking the takeout, right?
Right.
That's funny. I was totally fine with that, but of course it leads to something else.
Right.
And I was like, eh.
What do you think, Keith?
I actually have not seen this one yet.
Oh, okay.
And Brian, you don't watch Big Bang, huh?
Nope.
Is it just you're too full? Because actually, I personally like Modern Family more, but I mean, obviously with the four of us talking, you know, if you have any interest in geek culture, I think Big Bang's pretty good. It's a fun show.
They always have sci-fi guest stars. It's great.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good way to just get a good smile in for the 25 minutes or 20 minutes that it's on. It's just, this week has been, there's just been so many new shows.
No argument. But what the other thing is, I like the fact that for some reason, Sheldon has become Penny's kind of project.
Like, I like that too.
Yeah, she basically has adopted him as teaching him what's right and what's wrong socially, and he doesn't necessarily always acknowledge that any of her opinions are worth anything. But I think in this case, he realizes that she knows more than him in this situation because he's never, ever actually been on a date. So I thought all that was really good. I'd say there was very little Leonard, but that's okay because Leonard's actually not my favorite character. I think I like Sheldon the most. I really like Penny. I like Wallowitz. And I like Cuthor Polly. And I think Leonard's kind of like, he's kind of the bland one.
Well, yeah, I mean, Leonard is this. I mean, you have to have this in most sitcoms. One is the straight man. Even if it's on Will and Grace, you still need theoretically the character that you're right is not really.
Did you just make
really
a gay
funny.
Pun?
Yeah. What?
Did you just make a gay pun?
Well, yeah, because that expression I heard came from Will and Grace, where on Will and Grace, the show's called Will and Grace, but people who really love the show loved Karen and Jack, who were the more flamboyant characters. But, I mean, technically, Will is also gay, but his character, comedy-wise, is the straight man. He's the one who's, like, not really... He's more like Leonard. It's like the jokes are kind of around him and stuff. But you kind of need that in sitcoms. Not everybody can be larger than life, you know?
Well, that's true. That is true. And sometimes I like Leonard, but usually... I find in the last couple of seasons, he's become...
Well, sometimes I think
annoying.
He's kind of selfish.
Yeah, he's always selfish. Yeah.
Only Only when he's awake.
Well, it's like when Sheldon had that breakdown. He went to Texas. All he wanted to do was sleep with Penny. And I understand, like, he's had a crush on Penny for so long. But I'm just like, dude, it's your best friend, man. Come on. Like, you know, man up. So.
No, not in his nature.
Right. But yeah, it was good. It was, you know, good premiere. I like
the show. Let's move on to 30 Rock.
Wait, 30 Rock. Now, did Kenneth, because I watched the premiere, I thought Kenneth got his job back.
No.
Did I somehow forget something?
Yeah, no, he did. He got fired at the end of the last season.
And I totally forgot. How did he get fired? What happened?
Because if I remember, the Cable Town people came by and he didn't want to get fired or he didn't want to get replaced, so he was a total a-hole.
Oh, that's right.
And sadly, Hornberger had to fire them.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Because, yeah, in this episode, he's now the page, interestingly, at rival station CBS's David Letterman, The Late Show, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, it was very funny.
But, yeah, I'd forgotten because I was like, what's going on with that? My favorite part of the episode was there's a moment where I don't remember what she says, but Liz says something that's so nerdy and terrible. And Jack Donaghy says something like, wait, do I have that in my, what is he saying?
My loser scavenger hunt?
Yeah. Scratches it off. Yes, it was there. Like, that was hilarious. Overall, I thought the episode was an okay premiere, but that moment was pretty funny. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, the play between Jack and Liz Lemon was just, it's always perfect. I mean, those two have amazing chemistry. But one thing I really liked about this episode was you got to see more of Hornberger. I really like...
Who's Hornberger?
Pete Hornberger.
Oh, thank you.
I love how he goes around going, Hornberger! You know, when he does something good. But we had more of him in this episode, which I liked. Like, Jenna was the producer, and, like, she was an amazing producer. And she had to get him to fire her because it was costing too much.
I thought... Well, because I like the fact that I thought that she was going to be useless at that. Like, she is... Like, everything she does, she's pretty useless.
Terrible. Right.
Right. So I was actually impressed that she found something she can actually do.
She was amazing at it.
And then I have to fire myself.
Another quick question for you guys again, or maybe just trivia for those, or I'm asking listeners, because, yes, 30 Rock has been on for 5 seasons. And in this episode... Liz is like, oh, and we start our new season. And later in the episode, she says, you know, I can't believe it's been 5 seasons. I could have swore in the first season, the pilot for 30 Rock, I thought we're supposed to believe that the girly show, which is the show they're making, I thought it's been long running. I don't remember being their first season.
Yeah, but it's not the girly show anymore. It's a new show. It's TGS?
Yeah.
It's a totally different
Tracy
show.
Jordan, so it's a new show.
It's a new show. But yes, the girly show had been long running.
All right, so the pilot is that she's got the show, that basically Jenna, and then Tracy Jordan comes in and he upstages her, and so they reconfigure the show, and from that point on...
Well, that's because Jack wants to change the show. So in the pilot, Jack totally throws everything out the window that they had been doing and said, we're going to do this other thing.
Oh, and how funny was Jack flirting with that interior
designer? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I was like, what are you doing?
Oh God, this is so embarrassing.
I actually had to fast forward some of that because I couldn't watch it.
Is there something here you like?
But the thing that made it even worse is he's got the huge belly. He's got the huge belly.
Actually, I think that's what made it funny. Was it like?
Well, yes.
I was wondering if Alec Baldwin, when he says something like, someone once called my blue eyes piercing. I always wonder if, just like they did last season where he made that comment about, remember when he was, you know, I even said I am God, because he's talking about his role in Malice. I wonder if he was talking about, like, what critics have said about him.
Oh, he totally was. That's a total
because even earlier in the episode, doesn't he say something like, you know, we'll make Jenna producer. It's just this thing to placate the actors. And then it's like, producer, Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, exactly. It's a cheap credit to get them to shut up or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
They
totally make fun of themselves, and it's wonderful.
Right. That's what I like about the show, is they give you inside knowledge, and if you have some inside knowledge, it makes it even funnier. So that all works.
I agree.
All right, so...
Matt Damon was great.
Oh, the crying?
Fantastic. I hope we see more of him, because
that was
great.
That was so over the top.
I know, but it was great. Because, people who go above a certain altitude more than 4 times a day, that's just what they do, apparently.
Actually, I was surprised we didn't get, isn't Elizabeth Banks his girlfriend?
Yeah, we didn't see her at all.
Right.
But I like how she still manipulated Jack, and, like, even at the end, he was, like, so impressed that she, like, outdid his Fabian strategy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was pretty good. And so the next show we're going to talk about right now is Fringe.
All right.
This was the season 3 premiere, and I have to say that it started off with a bang. I am one of the people who doesn't like Anna Torv. I think she's one of the more boring characters. Her character is generally the most boring character out of all the cast. And it's a decent ensemble, and I like them, but I really dislike her. Now, having said that, the entire premiere was all about her, but...
It's called Olivia.
Yeah, the entire episode is all about her, but I loved it because she's on the run. She's in the alternate universe. So she's in the alternate universe running for her life. She has no allies. She has no friends. She has no way to get home. They're screwing with her memory. So she's starting to kind of like lose grasp of reality at the same time that everything else is going on. And she has just such a level of desperation that I actually think that the actress kind of pulled that off. Usually I think she's kind of weak.
Right. I really was wondering what you were going to say.
I usually think she's a weak actress, but I believed her level of desperation, and I believed the tension. So I gave it thumbs up. I really liked the episode.
And remember, this is kind of a callback, Keith, if you ever do watch season 1, this is kind of a callback to the first season, one of the few interesting things that they did in the first season, but it's much better here. Because remember, Olivia, in the first season, I'm pretty sure it's the first season, remember she started having memories where she'd be like, oh, I met you at blankety blank, and this guy's like, I don't know who you are. And it's because she was getting the memories of, was it her fiance or something like her partner, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, I didn't like that at all, though. That was
I liked the idea, but I didn't like it as much. But I thought here, I was like, oh, okay, now they've taken that idea and they've used it to much better effect. But you could say it is kind of a similar thing, which is that, like, you have a person who they think they remember something, but it isn't actually their memory. It's really something else. Yeah, but here, it's actually, I thought, kind of sad because it's like, wow, that means it's like, if the experiment that the Walternate is doing, which is that placing the alternate Olivia's memories in the Olivia that we know, it, after a while, she would cease to become the Olivia that we know, which I thought was kind of sad. It's like, it's kind of a weird way of like destroying somebody, you know, instead of just shooting them or something.
Right, and that's the thing, is now I'm kind of like, okay, now we have two alternate Olivias, basically, and we don't have the real Olivia anymore, so what do we do? Because she's not even trying to get home at this point.
She just... And actually, you know what? I got to say, I think... is it Bubbles?
Bubbles from The Wire. Yes,
I read it. Awesome. He basically plays a cab driver that she... Before she starts to lose her memory completely, she's like, you got to drive me around, you know, and they kind of become friends. They have a bond. And at the end of the episode, we see that he sees that she voluntarily leaves. I'm hoping he comes back because I really like him, you know. So
I think he suspects that some, because she tells them, she tells Bubbles, I don't even know what the guy's name is.
Bubbles.
She tells Bubbles that they're trying to wipe my memory. They're trying to make me into somebody else. So she tells them what's going on, and he sees from what's going on that it's working, you know.
Right.
And so he might try to help her. But I'm not sure exactly what he could do because he's a freaking cab driver.
He's a cab driver. I was wondering that too because I'm like, well, he can't really just become all black ops and everything, you know? But, like, I hope they do something. Also, did you notice? Oh, wait, what?
Stranger things have happened.
Also, I wanted to say, and I know we got to get to Supernatural, which was we were just talking about how on 30 Rock, Alec Baldwin will say things that is kind of like meta. It's almost kind of outside of the show. Did you think that when the fact that we're calling him Bubbles, they're talking about their own past, and the cab driver, Bubble, the actor, says something like, yeah, you know, like, when I, you know, in the past, you know, when I was, I went through a lot of hard times, and my wife, who's now my wife, she's the one who got me through it. I totally wanted to be like, was it McNulty who helped you? Yeah, I was living in Baltimore, I was really a crackhead and everything. It really felt to me like that they were like, you know, if you've seen The Wire, you could say, oh, that's what they're basically saying. It's like he's a cleaner version. You know, he's become a better man in this world and everything. I don't know. I thought that was a nice hint if you're a fan of The Wire.
I think the Fringe casting, they like to cast actors from The Wire. So,
well, yeah, because they got broils, and Julia, my wife, always wants him to take his shirt off because she's like, he needs this reason to take his shirt off, like so.
Well, that's the thing. That's a trip. Is I mean, I think we watched The Wire for a couple of seasons before he took his shirt off, and everybody went, "Oh my god, that man is ridiculously cut. It is unbelievable how cut he is, and he never takes his shirt off." And I agree with Julia. Someone should just run by him and rip his clothes off. Because that man is, just looking at him, he's an okay looking guy. I mean, he's not great, great looking, but he's an okay looking guy. But man, naked, that man is awesome.
It's weird because clearly Fringe, as much as I do like Fringe, I think I like it a little more than Libya. It is an inconsistent show. It's obviously not The Wire or Battlestar or any of the other shows. But it does make me feel... I do get a little happy when I think, well, look, man, the producers clearly, they hire people from The Wire. So, like, they do have good taste. You know, like, there are things that they clearly like about really good television. So that gives me a little faith.
All right. So thumbs up for Fringe premiere.
Yeah, thumbs up.
So we're going to move on to our last show of this podcast, which is Supernatural. And I'm taking us...
getting down and dirty. Here we go.
I'm taking us off the clock. Because I Excellent. Know that everyone here is very excited. And
hell yeah!
So,
let's get ready to rumble!
So, Supernatural Season 6 premiere. We are sans Kripke. We are post falling into hell and brand new story, brand new everything. Go.
What the Sorry, but seriously, what the hell? I mean,
thank you.
Wow, I have no idea what's going on. Not a clue. The grandfather
Sam came back from hell. Grandpa came back from heaven.
But how? But yeah, sure. But how?
We don't know.
But why?
We don't know
exactly.
Episode 1.
I know exactly, but there's like, I was so confused at the end of this episode, but I loved it.
Yeah, I did too, and I liked. The only thing I don't like, because I like the fact that Grandpa came back, because I love Mitch Pileggi.
We know, I have
great love for Mitch Pileggi.
When I saw his name on the credits, I was like, Libby is going to be happy.
Yes, Mitch Pileggi is my high school boyfriend. He just doesn't know it. But as soon as they put Mitch Pileggi, I was like, I'm in. But then it's like, now he's evil? Really?
We don't know that. We don't know that.
We don't know what they're doing.
I don't know. It
like,
looked pretty
easy. Like,
it looked very much like, it looked like the evil move to me.
Yeah, but we don't know why. He could be, for all we know, they could be grabbing them to experiment. We don't really know what they're doing.
Or try and figure out what's going on, you know, to interrogate them.
But the only thing about that is, why not tell the boys?
Because you know, the boys would be probably just like, kill them, I think.
We don't know why he's doing it, but the camera, the look when he looks back at the camera was very much, I am evil. But I actually
slowed down my TV. I tried to pause it to see if they changed his eyes into red.
No, they didn't. He's not a demon.
No, I don't think they did that.
But
we don't know what's going on.
We don't, and the only thing is now, because they pulled that move, I feel like he does know what brought them back. I feel like he does know. We still as the audience don't know, and I think we have until episode 3 before we get cast. So,
and Sam might know something too, because remember when they had the bro hug, which I'm sure all the girls liked, when they had the bro hug, Sam had this kind of look of smug satisfaction.
No, he just looked happy.
I don't know. I don't know if that was just happy.
I read it as happy.
Wait,
that he had
Libya,
his
what were you saying? What's in episode 3? What did you say?
I said we get Cass back. Castiel.
Oh, cool, cool. I didn't know that. All right.
I didn't know that, and I wish you wouldn't have told me that. But
I don't know what happens. Come on, you knew Castiel was coming.
No, I knew he was coming back. I just didn't know when.
He's coming. Okay. Episode 3.
Fine,
I know nothing
fine,
else. I'm
fine.
Sorry. I didn't. I was just kind of like, that's something to look forward to. We have no idea why.
Right.
And I did like the fact that Dean felt betrayed that no one told him that his brother was back for a year. That seems cruel and unusual.
But they had good reason. They wanted him to try and be happy and have a normal life. But he wasn't really happy.
Right. He wasn't. he was still paranoid. He still felt like the life that he was living, being a construction worker, was like his fake life.
I really did like that montage they had at the beginning, though, where they'd show like a piece of his old life and then a piece of his new life.
Right.
And how they had
that was awesome.
And they had the song was "A Beautiful Loser" or something like that. Yeah, that was a great montage.
Yeah, I but that also just showed that he was going through the motions.
Yeah, totally.
He wasn't, and so that's kind of why I think it was a mistake for him to stay.
But how many people go through that life and actually, I mean, they were focusing on his work, which that was Dean, but by the time he's in the house, what's important is the family. And they, true. I mean, I don't know, that's one of the things I loved about this episode is that Dean actually showed that he's putting the family that he has, you know, first.
Right. I agree, and I love like, that. I like the woman, what's her name, Lisa? I like the fact that she basically said that even though, you know, he was going through the motions and wasn't really necessarily feeling it, that the last year was the best year of her life. And she's like, if you're breaking up with me, I need you to know.
I hope they don't break up.
I actually don't either, but I can't really see. Something has to happen for him to get back on the road, and you know he's going to get back on the road.
Right, but at the same token, I could see her being a place for him to ultimately get to, because
well, her and him and Sam, where that's kind of like the roadhouse, only it's
that
a
got burned down.
Yeah, well, don't say roadhouse because that got blown up. We don't want to say roadhouse.
Well, give it a year. Okay.
But I hope they keep Lisa and Ben. Honestly, I hope Dean tries to make something with that because it worked for Mitch Pileggi's character.
You know? Well, to have a family.
Yeah, to have a family. It worked.
But that would mean that he has to then bring Ben into it. Ben has to learn how to fight the monsters. But actually, you know what?
I could see Ben doing that.
I actually think it's better because now that he knows that the monsters are going to come to the house,
it's better that Ben.
He needs to train them.
It's better that Ben knows how to defend himself.
Actually, him lying to them about. I thought that was a mistake.
Total mistake. He should have just. When he was in the garage and she comes in and he's like, well, she's like, what's going on? He should have just told her.
Right.
Flat out, just told her what's going on because she knows what he is. She knows who he's, what he's done.
Right.
So there's no need to lie. But I think he's so used to lying about it that that was probably just his first reaction.
And I think for Lisa, her very first conversation with him when he moves back in with him is, you need to tell me when we're in danger.
Yeah.
You know, that you need to tell me when we're in danger so that I can behave properly in the situation. Because she didn't know not to come home. She didn't know anything.
I got to say.
And so she could protect Ben.
Yeah, exactly. Because
you train Ben all you want. He's still a little boy right now.
Right, exactly.
Right.
I got to say, I thought Dean's characterization, his reactions, everything was totally perfect. I was totally believing it. Sam.
There's something off.
Totally something off. I was about to say, what's going on with him? We have no idea, but something is way different. He's much more smug now. He's much more.
I didn't read that as smug.
Okay, maybe not smug, but he seems more arrogant. And with the way he was saying that when Dean ran to save that family and Sam said, no, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't even have thought of it.
Like, Dean, Sam used to.
Yeah, Sam would have, but this new
well,
Sam was like,
season
what?
One, season two.
No,
start drinking goat juice and
goat juice.
I still think even at the end of season five, he still would have run to save that family without even thinking, just like Dean would. But something has changed.
I agree.
And we don't know.
We don't know how long he was in hell. We don't know what happened.
Because time
hell.
Is different down there,
right?
Yeah, so we have no idea.
And he doesn't want to talk about it, which to me is a red flag. Because Dean's kind of like, dude, we were both there.
Yeah, we need to talk about this. Because like Dean went through the same thing, and at first he didn't want to talk about it either. And it
maybe
totally,
maybe not. We don't know what the experience was.
Right, but
well, we don't know if Sam got down there and he became the ruling class.
Well, and that's the thing is we don't know, and because we don't know what's going on
right.
with Sam, why he's off. I would say he feels
February sweeps.
Hopefully not. More like November sweeps. How about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, but there's a lot of question marks right now. Like, why was the grandfather? What's the grandfather's character's name? I don't even remember.
He's a Campbell. That's all
he's
I got.
He's a Campbell, yeah.
And he so did not come from heaven. I think Cass is going to prove that.
Oh, that's true. Was that...
No, though they said he was in heaven when they went to heaven last season.
Oh, they did?
No, that was John. I'm sorry. That was John that was in heaven. Excuse me. Yeah, we really don't know.
We don't know what's going on with the grandfather. The cousins are not characters yet. Like, I feel like we didn't spend any time with them. Except that we have Korn Nimick, and I was like, Korn Nimick? Really? Because I'm used to, he was on Stargate, I was just like, alright, Korn, I like Korn Nimick.
And we've already lost one of them, apparently. One of them's already dead.
So. Well, no, we didn't actually get introduced to that character.
Oh.
He was just dead as we saw him.
That's true, okay.
So, we've got three cousins, one of them's a mute who doesn't talk.
Yeah.
We've got the woman who's all sassy, but we don't really know her very well yet.
And we have the guy.
And we have Korn Nimick, who I like him already.
He has no faith in Dean. He says he's all rusty and he's not a professional. I'm like, wait a minute, this guy saved the world and you're calling him not, you're saying he's not a professional? What the hell's up with that?
Well, I know, and that was kind of, Dean corrected that very quickly.
Yes.
So, but the thing is they don't know each other yet, they don't trust each other yet, they don't have a rhythm yet. So, I like the idea of the posse. I just wish that they didn't introduce the whole "and we might be evil" aspect to it, because I would like to see them working with a group.
But we don't know if they're evil. It's a big, it's a huge question mark. They might be questioning them. We don't know what's going on. I mean, even Mitch Pledge's character was like, we've seen things, we have no idea what's going on. We've seen things we've never seen before, and they don't have any information. Maybe they're trying to get information. Maybe they're taking them to interrogate them. We don't know.
Yeah, and they had the cage in the back. We get that. But yeah, we don't know what they're doing. I just like to see, like I said, I like the idea of having an ensemble for the first time ever on this show.
One thing I liked about it is they said it was going to be like a sequel. And it totally did have a sequel-ish feel to me.
Oh, I didn't hear that, but okay.
But I did like that. They said they were going to treat season 6 as a sequel because seasons 1 through 5 are like this one big story.
Right.
And now that we're in like sequel territory, and it kind of felt like that to me.
Mr. Negativity, Peter, you would like to give your opinion now?
All right, so I've been listening for and I appreciate the enthusiasm that you guys all have. As I don't know if listeners know this, but like I actually was late to Supernatural. I only watched seasons 1 through 5. I don't know what, Brian, Olivia, maybe in the last 3 months. Would you say I caught
maybe
up?
Maybe 6 months.
Yeah, over
six
the
months,
maybe.
Over the yeah, probably actually maybe 6 months. You're right. And I really like it. I probably had the same issues that most people have. I thought the first two seasons were unstable. Then I really liked the premise of the third season, and then 4 and 5 are kind of one big season, and you know, kind of ramps up, and I really like it. And going into this season, Livia had told me that Kripke was leaving the show, and that in a way he had kind of designed it as a 5-season show, which now it seems like the PR people are kind of spinning into what Brian is saying, is that like, well, season 1 through 5 is this one piece, so this is the sequel, this is the next evolution of Supernatural. And I guess I'd say, listening to everything that you guys are saying, the best I can say is that the enthusiasm you guys have has made me go, okay, I'll loosen up a little, and I am happy that Cass is coming for episode 3, because I really do like that character, and I do hope it goes somewhere. But I don't know, for me, my two biggest things was, we talked about this prior to the podcast, even though there is a reason for where these teammates came from. Like, I think before we started the podcast, it was either Keith or somebody had said, well, actually, you know, we saw in that episode, it's either from season 4 or 5, when we saw about the mom, that actually was her side of the family, the Campbells. They were actually the people, the hunters. It wasn't actually the Winchester side. So I understand what you're saying. There is a logic there, but I can't help that when you're showing me a premiere of an episode and you get to Mitch Pileggi, who I do like, and you're kind of like, who are these people? Oh, well, there are these family members that you didn't know about. My heart sinks a little because it just feels a little written. It just feels like, I guess they just needed some kind of reason to like, well, that's who these people are. And I don't know, it feels forced like to me. Now, obviously, if the actors work out, I won't care. If obviously halfway through I like the team, then who cares? I'm just saying in the premiere, it didn't feel very organic to me.
The only argument I'll have for you is, why would they know who those cousins are? Mainly because as babies, their father took them away.
Totally. Again, like, your logic is sound. I'm just saying, as a viewer, emotionally, it just felt like, what? Why are we getting these people? That's what I'm saying.
But
it
you
just
know
feels
what? I weird. Felt that Dean would probably feel the same way. Like, who the hell are these people? Like, where the hell did they come from?
And he did.
But wait, the other thing I wanted to say was, I really liked how season 5 ended with Dean, and I'm sorry, what is the girlfriend? Ben's the son.
Lisa.
Lisa and Ben.
Lisa. I liked them in that earlier episode, and I liked them in the finale, and I like the idea of Dean maybe finally having a chance at happiness, or at least having what we'd see as a normal life. Totally like that. Totally good. What I thought was weird in the premiere was that you guys are saying, oh, you know, of course he needs to stay with them. He has to protect them. You know, this is, and even says that, like, this is a responsibility that I need to take up. That's all totally cool. What I thought was weird was that what I like about Supernatural in general, beyond their big story arcs and stuff, are those little moments. It can be something simple like, you know, I don't know, Dean talking about diner food or, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. It can be something that's either funny or, like, tender. It was weird to me that in this premiere episode, they didn't, at least I didn't, and maybe you guys can tell me if I'm wrong, didn't seem like they found a way to give this new family a moment together where I was like, oh, look, it's kind of nice to see him hanging out with Ben and look at how he's getting along with this woman. Just give me something.
Well, except for that was the montage, and there was also the moment
But a montage is, that's just a montage. That's not a moment. A moment is when...
I don't think we had time for a moment. So many things were happening.
I think those kind of scenes you need because that grounds this new life of that Dean has instead of a montage. It makes me go, oh, look, you know, these are people hanging out. I miss stuff like that.
Peter, stop it. I don't think they want us to feel grounded in this new life because it feels very tenuous. I don't think they want us.
And that's the other thing is you're not supposed to feel grounded in it because Dean doesn't. Dean doesn't. He's not happy with that life. He feels like he's going through the motions, and that was what we were supposed to feel.
But he's been with these people for a year. He's had no nice moments with these people. I mean, it's a long time.
1 year compared to 30 years as a hunter? It's nothing.
But, who here is married?
I'm married.
Okay. I'm just going to say I disagree with that completely. Because once you actually get into a family setting... Well, you know, the 30 years of the hunting versus the 1 year. To me, that completely changed. You know, and even though Dean maybe doesn't necessarily like everything, again, that's why I will get to he doesn't like the work. And before Dean was all about the work and protecting Sammy. Now, part of that is missing. He still has the family, but it's the work that he doesn't care about. He had no happy moments, I mean, would almost, to me, say you didn't see the episode before this episode with the kid. Because he absolutely adored
I did like that episode, the episode you're talking about, but that's before he settled into this life. I'm saying I would have liked to have seen a little more of that in the new life. But no, I like that episode.
Where they show him teaching the kid how to fix the car.
Yeah.
Like, for me, that was the moment you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because they have this moment where they're working on the car together, and they look at each other, and you feel like this is like his son. I really felt that in that scene.
Yeah, but the thing is, Dean doesn't feel wholly committed to his new family.
Well, I think you are correct, but I guess I'm saying as a viewer, I think then what's kind of weird then is then I'm not seeing the conflict then. I think if he was happy in this life and then his brother comes back and of course he's happy because he loves his brother and then it's like, oh, we got to go. Now you have a conflict. If he's not that happy.
No, listen,
how is that compelling?
It's not that he's happy. He feels a responsibility because he's committed to them. Yep. So it has nothing to do with happiness because Dean is not a happy person. He's never really been a happy person. But he's a responsible person. And he feels this is his family now, or at least an extension of his family. So happiness be damned, he has a responsibility to protect these guys. And that's where the conflict's going to come
from. And also because he feels like he's put them on the map of the bad guys.
Exactly.
Yes.
The bad guys know who they are now. So he feels like leaving is just leaving them open. So now
it's leaving them dead.
Right. Yeah. And so he feels like he has to protect them.
Well, wait, now I understand what you guys are talking about how clearly we've seen for the past few seasons how usually villains will talk to Dean and talk about how insecure he is about his own life and the feelings that he has about himself. And I'm totally not saying that you're not right about that Dean is not really a happy person, but there is an exterior that Dean has that is very, I don't know, it's very, like, loose and puts a smile on my face or something. That's actually...
Well, that's what he used to be like.
That's, like, my favorite part of the show.
Yeah, is, I know, but but after he went to hell, he wasn't like that anymore.
He was... No, you're right. He wasn't as much. But, and actually, I did have some criticism with that earlier, because I was like, eh, I kind of missed that and everything. I guess, to me, you know, it's a classic thing. When you have drama does not necessarily mean that you can't have humor. And I don't mean humor like 30 Rock jokes. I mean just moments where it just kind of, it's either light or it's something about it that's kind of like, well, that's kind of the way people are. Even in the most dire situations, you can kind of find these moments to kind of smile about. And sometimes I feel like if you squeeze all that out of it, it makes it a little stale. I think it does.
I don't think they were squeezing the humor out. Humor's always been a big part of the show. I just think there wasn't really time for it.
Right, and again, this is the premiere, so you're right. Obviously, you're saying, look, they had a lot of ground to cover, so they didn't have time for the moments that Peter likes. And right, and as the season goes on, they'll probably find moments for that. And you're probably fine. And you're probably right. And once it gets to that, I'll probably be back in the groove with it. I'm just saying, for me, as the one sourpuss in the bunch, I never really found the rhythm because I never really, I don't know, the premiere. And also as a side note, I don't know, I think we can all agree, it's kind of hard to top Lucifer. At this point, I think the writers are kind of being cagey about whatever this big thing is, because ultimately, whatever it is, I don't know if you can really top.
Well, I don't think it's going to be any one thing. I think that's why they said all the monsters are all different and we have all these new things. So
I think you might be right about that.
I don't think they're trying to be like, and our new villain is this guy.
And you know, Peter, you didn't like the episode kind of threw you off. I think you're saying it kind of wasn't fully there for you. I think it succeeded because I don't think it was supposed to be fully comfortable for any of us.
Yeah, it wasn't. Because you're not supposed to know.
That's a good point. I see what you're saying there.
And you gotta pace yourself. You gotta learn how to watch Supernatural like the mere mortals, which is
well, I will say it was awesome watching it burning through them, emailing Brian and Libby and being like, "It's fantastic!" Like, I mean, there's no better joy than to watch it like that. You're right. And now I have to wait week to week like everything else, which is frustrating.
Now you have to actually have some patience.
All right, so okay, we did I think a pretty good job of cranking through a lot of shows.
Good job.
So,
and by the way, another news thing, just so you guys are obviously happy, I guess CW had its highest Friday night in 2 years. Smallville and Supernatural did very well for their premieres.
Oh, that's great.
That's because Smallville was awesome.
Really?
I have not seen Smallville in a year or something.
Smallville itself was really, really good. If you haven't seen it for a number of years, give this one a shot. They bring back things, and they continue to develop it. And just as a spoiler, you get to see a blue and red suit.
I got the last season on Blu-ray, so maybe I'll check it out, and then maybe I'll catch up.
Dude, not before you've watched the other stuff we're supposed to catch up on.
No offense, Keith, but Smallville is not on my high list of... I mean, like, I hope it's good. There's so many other shows, you know.
Well, exactly, and it's... I'm just kind of throwing that out there, and I think because it's the last season, they're just throwing everything at it and says, okay, we can do whatever we want to do because it's the last season.
And that's fine. One other thing I was going to let the viewers out there know is I have now been pulled into the dark, dark recesses of Vampire Diaries.
Me too!
So me too. I'm halfway through season one, and I hear Brian over here sighing.
So gay.
I was Miss Negativity, whatever, because I'd only seen the pilot, and I thought it was awful. And it's actually not awful.
The pilot's lame, but I think you and I both, Libya, we'd say episode 5 it picks up.
But if you get to episode 5 and you're not interested, then it's not for you. If you get to episode 5 and you're like, oh my god, then there you go.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, man, it's I'm not as far as Libya, but I'm totally liking it. I'm like, wow, I actually like this show.
Not see that coming. I'm sorry, I
can't watch the show because I want to maintain my heterosexuality. So I can't say I watch Vampire
Diaries. Well, you can watch it in secret. We won't tell.
I don't like secrets. So,
But it's not a gay show.
So I know. True Blood is way gayer, I'm sure.
Yeah, True Blood actually has True guys. Blood
is super actually, gay. As a side note, I think Libby, you'd agree. I actually think so far, I think Vampire Diaries is way better at maintaining a constant forward momentum than True Blood is.
It does have a very steady storyline.
It moves really well.
Yeah,
like,
it really does.
To the next
episode, it's really sad to say. But anyway,
now that werewolves are part of the show, I'm actually probably gonna give it a shot.
Whoa! Spoiler,
guy!
Hey,
spoiler, dude! Wait, I don't know. Episode 6.
I don't know. We're only on episode 11. I'm only on episode 11. I don't know.
Have you guys not been seeing?
No, we haven't. Way to go!
I think he
Mr.
said yeah, if. I think he said if.
Anyways. Anyway.
I meant Frankenstein.
You meant Frankenstein. Thank you, Keith. Anyway, let's wrap up.
Diaries. I forgot about that.
Let's wrap up the podcast. And remember, if you have feedback, tvcampfire@gmail.com. If you want to record yourself, we will put it in the podcast. Send us an MP3 file, and I'll drop it right in a feedback section for you guys. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter @tvcampfire, and we are also on Facebook. There you go. We are super interwebby now.
Wow, we're all over the intertubes.
Intertubes, yes. All right, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.